This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
I saw it more as like Mr. Wall from Pulp Fiction. You know, I really did get a directive from the president. I had a mutual understanding with him, and I was probably running too hard and acting more like a corporate CEO than I was, say, a political operative. And that's my mistake, and I have to own that.
Scaramucci appears on the Sunday Swirl. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So much terror in Charlottesville, and most of the focus, of course, is going to go there. But before we do, again, the fact that before that happened, the fact that Anthony Scaramucci was going to be on a couple of different shows had people buzzing to hear what he was going to say, because he was dumped so quickly, basically, after 10 days, in being in the White House. He admits, and you heard it there, that he was not cut out for the White House. And, of course, he wasn't cut out for the White House because of the reasons he said. He was used to doing whatever he wanted to do as a business person. And, let's face it, he's a little bit of a hothead, it sounded like. So just 2 weeks after being fired, he returned on a couple of appearances. One of them was on ABC's This Week. And he talked about also... reacting to what had happened in Charlottesville, and he was asked about Steve Bannon and why they didn't decisively go after the KKK and white supremacists. So in an ABC Facebook Live interview. So, again, Facebook Live interview, Scaramucci called Bannon's tolerance of white nationals inexcusable, and Mooch said he was thinking of writing a book. So he went deeper on a couple of different things, but he said he's focusing on being a voice for Americans who are socially inclusive and fiscally responsible, and he's going to continue to do what... what he thinks he should be doing, which is not being in the White House, right? So we go from the Mooch and what he had to say to the seriousness of the catastrophe that happened in Charlottesville. And there are no words. I mean, really, there are no great words. Despicable. Disgusting. I can just list a bunch of adjectives that describe the way I feel in looking at this scumbag, frankly, who killed one woman, injured 19. James Fields, at 20 years old, is accused of running his Dodge Challenger into the crowd of people. So he will be in court on Monday through a TV feed, as to whether or not he gets bail. Whenever this kind of thing happens, of course, there is the scramble to try to make sense of it. There is no way to make sense of it. There is the scramble to peel back the layers of the guy who did it. And in interviews with people, some said he clearly was disturbed. He had a fondness for Adolf Hitler. He was an angry kid. He was an angry student. All that kind of detail is emerging. And the Virginia governor said on white nationals, about white nationals, they should leave America. Donald Trump is being criticized for not coming down hard on specifically on white supremacists. And to give this story some context, in case you haven't heard of it, in Charlottesville, there were protests. There was a KKK group. There were all sides to what was taking place there. And what was taking place is what started partially this place being the area to gather is the fact that they were going to remove from a park there a Confederate statue of General Robert E. Lee. And then that kind of was the igniter, in a sense, anyway, of the groups of Unite the Right rally of the white nationalists and other right-wing groups, apparently, according to Charlottesville Police Chief Al Thomas, and then a group of others who were talking about the opposite, who were counter to that. And it was, I mean, it was just a massive clash. A lot of fights, a lot of things being thrown. Awful. Extreme nastiness, violence, and everything else that was starting to unfold. But then the thing with the car happened, and even just, gosh, looking at the car just running, plowing through people is just shocking. So, of course, what are the cops going to say about it? They say that the crash is under investigation. They're not getting a lot of context or specifics on the aspects of the crash. This Fields lived with his mother, and his car was parked in the driveway. He didn't work, and the neighbors say pretty much he and his mother kept to themselves. Well, not any longer, because now people are going to know who this guy is. This is mugshot is all over the place. And it's sad. One of the quotes said that his mother didn't know that he was going to Virginia because they were in Ohio, didn't know that he was going to Virginia for a white nationalist rally. She thought it was something else, and she was surprised that her son went to the rally and talked about to the newspaper, the Toledo Blade specifically, that her son had African-American friends. So violent clashes, this deadly car attack, a helicopter crash near Charlottesville near that rally killed two Virginia cops because they were trying to do something to help control it, and then they lose their lives as that helicopter crashes and explodes. Luckily, nobody on the ground was killed in there, but it was ugly. And again, I go back to, I have no great words for this. I'm out of words, frankly, when this kind of stuff happens, because it's just so sad, shocking, and horrific to the people that are all touched by it. And in some way, we are all touched by this. I mean, this isn't the America I want to see. The America where we can agree to disagree and we can argue and debate, absolutely. Where some nut jumps in a car and plows through innocent people, yeah, not acceptable. But in saying it's not acceptable, it doesn't stop it from happening. So then the next question becomes, how do we return to civility? How do we have those debates and not have cars ramming people? Hang with us. Coming up, we're going to zig and zag from coast to coast and give you the headers next on America Tonight.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. A Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to prostatemiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
His use of rhetoric, particularly with regards to North Korea, fire and fury and lock and load, I think has frankly created even greater tensions in that part of the world.
All right, so that was Leon Panetta throwing in his two cents on North Korea. And because of Charlottesville, this is what happens, that North Korea story, which could affect us deeply as well, gets kind of knocked to what I'll call the back pages, if there is such a thing, because of the Virginia chaos, that gets pushed aside, but it shouldn't really be pushed aside because it's serious what's happening with North Korea and how it's handled. And, you know, ultimately what happens with Kim Jong-un, does he lose it and decide that he's just going to go for it? Do I think he's going to lose it today? No. Do I think there's reason for concern? Of course I do. And certainly on this show, we've talked about it. So it does make some news, continues to make news, because of the possibilities of what can happen with those missiles, for goodness sake. However, the Charlottesville police and how they're handling what happened, the tension in the city, and just trying to regroup from a horrible weekend is absolutely front page, if you will, everywhere you look. And headlines, for example, in the Los Angeles Times read, Charlottesville police face critics as a tense city tries to regroup from a deadly weekend. Hip-hop artist recalls his beating in Charlottesville. They were trying to kill me out there. The White House, these are different stories, White House defends Trump's response as criticism is pouring in. L.A. protesters were not going to normalize these Nazis. And then she did what was right, details coming out about those killed in Charlottesville, which is, of course, the sad, sad part of this. A paralegal who was there representing her, you know, her side of what she felt was so wrong, ends up dying. Just a simple weekend foray into, I'm going to go do this. Her name was Heather Heyer, and she was standing up for what she thought was right. Also, you had the two that were killed in the helicopter, the lieutenant pilot, Jay Cullen, who spent years flying the governor of Virginia around the state, and a trooper pilot, Burke M.M. Bates, who was excited, who had just realized the dream he had of joining the state police aviation unit, because that was specific with the helicopter, and both were killed as they were trying to do what they could to control the rally. But when a car drove into it, then the, you know, everything else just went nuts after that. So as of this moment, to the best of my knowledge, they set up a GoFundMe page, and quickly that really money was really started to add up there. $200,000 was so far raised as a result for her family, but she was exercising her First Amendment right to free speech, and this is the one thing that just certainly scares me, is people standing up for their beliefs on whatever their belief is, whether we agree or don't agree, whatever any kind of protest is we're talking about that should be peaceful. It's horrific to think going to a peaceful demonstration turns out, well, what they thought was a peaceful demonstration turns out to be deadly and takes her life. So if we went across the country to the Washington Post in headers, what you would see is suspect in Virginia death was a Nazi sympathizer. That's what his teacher says, one of them anyway, that he idolized Adolf Hitler. That's a high school teacher, because remember, he's only 20. There were a lot of headlines similar to what we saw in Los Angeles, until you got further down, and then you would see Game of Thrones, Season 7, Episode 5. They do a review of it. Or you would also see the civil war in Venezuela, talking about what's happening there. And you'd also see a story about a massive fire leading Montana ranchers to weigh weariness against government, about government against need for federal help. So that's interesting. This distrust of the government, this battle here coming about, what should the federal role be in helping the livestock industry respond to and recover from a destructive wildfire? So that's the Washington Post. Still the overwhelming conversation, Charlottesville, Charlottesville, Charlottesville. If we were to go into the middle of the nation and check out, let's say, the Chicago Sun-Times, you would find that there would be a story, there'd be a lot of different stories, actually, including El Chapo seeking new lawyers in his U.S. drug trafficking case. You would also see a story about thousands of Europeans who are among Chicago's undocumented for the big concern there. You'd see a story about a worker at O'Hare's airport who drove across a runway where a flight had been cleared for takeoff, crossed a runway where a plane had just landed and apparently cut in front of a taxiing jet. One of, they say, 90 airfield mishaps since the start of 2015. That's a lot. One of 90, I would think. And then there, of course, would be the stories about the hundreds of people who rallied in Chicago against the violence in Virginia and some more reaction to what happened in Charlottesville. And then there would be something about the Cubs. And the story of Jake Arrieta and Chris Bryant coming up big because the Cubs win their series against Arizona. And the Cubs, for how well they did last year, are not in the win column enough to say that they are a massive lock. I mean, getting in is one thing. Remember, last year was all about history. Getting in is one thing, but then getting beyond getting in is completely different than that. So naturally, there is a Cubs story, and I don't think that's a surprise because of winning the World Series last year. And as much as you're mixing in the horrific story of Virginia, Charlottesville, Virginia, that's typical of how they lay their paper out. It's very Chicago-centric, unlike what was in the Washington Post and what was in the Los Angeles Times, meaning that when I say they're headers, they're big top stories. So they part company there, and they really focus still a lot locally before they go globally, even if there is stories on the front page. If you went to the Boston Globe, it's the opposite. They've got a lot of stories. The teacher says suspect fascinated with Nazism. So that whole idea, that teacher talking, became a big story in a couple of different places. And James Fields is the guy who was charged with second-degree murder and is accused of driving through the crowd of protesters and wounding at least 19. And then more stories about the Charlottesville victim and the White House scrambling to explain the response, and other pieces, opinion pieces, on Trump's reaction, what's going on in Charlottesville, what people in Massachusetts are doing, rallying against violence, people disheartened and distressed, they say, is kind of leading to an increase, and this is interesting, in people attending church and faith and getting back to their faith or going to church more than they were in the past. And the story talks about why is that, and some of it is because of some of what's happening in this country and other countries and how it's affecting us mentally, looking for the faith outlet. All right, hang with us. Forbes Books at Bedtime coming up on the flip side.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Wow, what a guest we have now. I'd love to get him on the court for a game of horse, and I guarantee Greg Stebbin has no idea what horse or pig or any of that is.
I know what horse is.
You do?
I just never get to H.
I'm so shocked by that. Jamal Crawford from the Clippers one time had a little game of horse with me. He whipped me in 2 seconds, and I think it was pretty funny. I think our next guest, Maurice Mo Evans, would do the same thing. I think many of you listening who are sports fans would recognize Mo Evans most recently with the Washington Wizards, and of course has quite a career as a retired American professional basketball player. Like I said, most recently with the Wizards. Sorry about that. I thought the Wizards were going to go the distance, maybe. And he also was a VP of the NBA Players Association. Mo, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. And, you know, it's a great intro, especially even concerning, just lost his train of thought, but he said he beat you in a horse. I mean, we play, he's probably one of the best shooters that I've ever played with and against. So it's just crazy to see how many shots he can make in a row. We used to shoot together when we both played for the Hawks. And it's just crazy to see like how consistent he can shoot the ball.
Yeah, no kidding. And like I said, for people who don't know, Jamal Crawford, you think even just a couple years ago, Sixth Man Award, he deserved that. I mean, he has what they call Mo right eyes. He can just, I think he can see all over the place on that floor.
But the thing for me is just like how calm, cool, and collected he is. I mean, I remember there was a game when we played for the Hawks and we were playing against the Suns. We were down two, and Coach drew up a play, and he was literally, the play was for him. But I remember he was talking to somebody else, like during the, like Coach was drawing the play. And Coach was like, hey, Jamal, you paying attention? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, you know, goes out there and he shoots a three-pointer, and we only needed two, and he hit it and we won the game. and then he went back and finished the conversation, like, immediately after. And I was like, man, this dude has another year that I don't think, you know, most people recognize. So that's my Jamal story. But, JC is one of the most consistent guys. He's a really good guy. Obviously has a long team in the league, and deservingly so with all the great four-pointers that he's made and, you know, the six-man awards. I mean, he's great in the community. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You played for a bunch of teams, not just Washington and Atlanta, Orlando in the mix too, the Lakers, obviously. Did you have a favorite coach of all the people that you played for?
Interestingly, my favorite coach actually is the head assistant for the San Antonio Spurs, Ettore Messina. He was just fantastic. He actually coached me when I played in Europe. The 2 years I played in one for Treviso, Benetton Treviso, and he was my head coach there. He actually coached Manu Ginobili the year before. He's now been a long-time assistant in the NBA, but he's absolutely my favorite coach. And obviously, prior to that, Phil Jackson was a great coach. I had Flip Saunders. The late Flip Saunders was definitely one of my favorites in terms of I've had him three times in my career, Minnesota, Detroit, and Washington. So it was great to see his progression throughout his career. Me coming in as a rookie and then obviously seeing him before his, before he kind of transitioned out of here, he was just one of the best offensive coaches I've ever been around.
You know, it's interesting, Mo, hearing you talk about coaches you played with, and you know, we can get a flavor of the influence of them on your life. I'm curious, you know, when you retired in 2012, you kind of lose this or leave. I'm speculating that you kind of leave this world that's designed to have you play at your best, and all of a sudden, I guess you're out on your own. Is that right? And what was that like for you?
Yeah, the transition is very difficult for a lot of players. And I was probably one of the more seasoned players in terms of I have multiple investments. I have a lot of business acumen. It's one of the reasons that I was one of the only players who was involved in every aspect of the labor negotiations. You know, I really, my knowledge of the sports business significantly increased during that process. But at the same time, so many players lack transitional skills. And so we're all suited to be basketball players. We heavily invest in that. We work out multiple times a day. We eat right. We do all these different things related to our specific sports. And this is all professional athletes. But even with a degree like I had, you don't have any direct experience. So as you're transitioning out, it's difficult to go find something unless you go into being an analyst or a coach or a GM or one of those, niche jobs that so many athletes are vying for and jockeying for as they transition out. It's really difficult to see guys transition out. So that's one of the reasons that we started the company that we have, Every Level of Success, trying to help athletes better transition.
Yeah, and don't you think, Mo, I mean, what a great thing, because you're right. I've seen this over the years that I've covered sports, what happens when somebody gets out, and you nailed it. If they're not going into the business of sports where they're an analyst and they're on one of the big networks or they're doing coaching or GM or whatever, all of a sudden, what are they doing? So when you get a hold of somebody, no matter what the sport is, take us through that process. How does that work?
Well, the first thing that we do is we obviously we kind of help them redefine what success looks like for them. Because, again, we talk about it in terms of something that we feel like is applicable to them is we speak about their winning space. Like everybody knows that, again, your winning space is essentially your calling in life. And the thing that's interesting is most people, your winning space is only still seasonal. So most of these guys were in their winning space for 10 years. 15 years. It depends on however long they played, but now they have to be able to transition and take all of the uncommonalities, the skills, the experience, the relationships that they all accumulated in that sport, in that winning space, and now transition them into the next spot. So we help them redefine success first and foremost. Then we connect them to our 360 Service Provider Network, the individuals who are experts in whatever area of life they're going to need that support in. For example, most of the individuals, one of the most challenging things they have transitioning, even as it relates to their skill sets and finding another job, most of those guys have liquidity. So it's not like they don't have financial concerns. But the challenge is because they've been so vested in their sport, now they're expected to come transition as a father as well and as a husband. And so now you want to wake up and go expect Kobe Bryant to start taking his kids to school shortly after retiring. And now going on date nights and doing all these different things. He's used to going to the gym. He used to getting on the road, getting on the plane, and doing all these different things. So they don't have that excuse anymore. So most of the guys in the NBA, NFL, et cetera, the next transition, the most difficult thing they experience is divorce. Mm-hmm. And then half their assets are gone, and now the earning potential relative to the sport is at its lowest point. Now it damages their overall brand. And it's just like a downward spiral for most people that they will never, recover from.
I guess my question for you, Mo, and we're talking with Mo Evans. He's the president and CEO of Every Level of Success. The website is everylevelofsuccesscompany.com. And, of course, you know him from playing for the Washington Wizards, Atlanta, Orlando Magic, the LA Lakers, now having this company called Every Level of Success. You mentioned early on that you, in a sense, had an advantage as a player because you had a much broader business set of experiences. How did you know to pursue the business side of your life at the same time you were playing when so many players don't know to do that?
Well, I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. My father was an entrepreneur. He was a master plumber. He owned his own business the entire time when I was in high school growing up. And it was not the most scalable business at the time. It was very much a mind pop, and I kind of seen him and go through that struggle, but it was something that I was always passionate about, was business, especially sports business and sports technology. And unfortunately, I learned a lot of tough lessons at my own expense. And it was when I retired that I said I can't keep learning these lessons in real time. I have to be able to accelerate my learning curve some way. That's when I started writing the book, and I also wanted to stop other athletes from putting our money. One of the things that you learn is you can put money, for example, in an investment in a company, but one of the most difficult things I've seen is getting that money back, generating a return. And so most of the time I would put $500,000 in a company, and then I find myself having to go work for that same company to help them generate a return or scale their business model. So now all of a sudden, not only am I an investor, but I'm essentially paying to have a job that's unpaid, and then help them scale the model because they don't have the relationships that I had. So I just learned a lot just through trial and error. And now I'm a lot more seasoned as an investor, and I work with a lot of other athletes as they make those decisions and help them to kind of pinpoint things and challenges to look for.
Yeah, do you think a lot of athletes get trapped that same way where their entourage or people that have been around them hit them up for money and have ideas about businesses, and then they don't know how to really run the business they started, and they're coasting on your connections? And, boy, that is deadly, isn't it?
It is, and it's challenging because just like any person in business, period, you do business with people you like, you know, and you trust.
Right.
And unfortunately, the people that athletes like, know, and trust don't have much more knowledge or skills concerning some of the businesses that they go in. And that's why, even the comments about LeBron James's crew, at least LeBron has helped them get direct experience in those related fields so that they can now be educated and be qualified to handle those certain, business opportunities or manage, opportunities for him, period. And that's one thing you can give him credit for, because LeBron James is probably one of the best I've seen do it. I've seen Magic Johnson has done a great job transitioning. Junior Bridgman has done a great job. Chauncey Billups is now doing a really great job in terms of managing both the business and the transitional process. So there's a couple names that I've seen have done it well. Jamal Mashburn is another one who's done it extremely well. So there's a few of the athletes who have really transitioned, very, very well.
Mo, we just have a minute or two, and this is, of course, on a radio feature called Forbes Books at Bedtime, so we have to ask, what keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night is just nothing, really. I have a lot of peace. I get great sleep. I'm not a warrior because I'm really trusted. I'm really rooting, but if there were something to keep me up, it's just reaching my fullest potential. I have a lot of opportunities, and I have a lot of different skill sets and experience, and just making sure that I'm living my best life and living it for myself and for my family, as opposed to giving the best of my time to everything else and then just living life with my leftover time. So that's something that's very important to me.
Love it. You sleep well at night. Mo Evans, president and CEO of Every Level of Success. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
And membership is only $9.95.
Yep. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia Berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com. Chances are you wouldn't mind having more energy, better digestion, or more comfortable joints and muscles, right? But if you've taken supplements before without much success, be aware that most supplementation fails to address the body's number one antioxidant and detoxification system. Free radicals and toxins on a daily basis assault our bodies. Stopping the inflammation they create and to successfully detoxify requires great quantities of the body's primary antioxidant, glutathione. To successfully turn on whole body glutathione production and cleanse all 37.2 trillion cells requires large amounts of the peptide cysteine, which can only come from food, and a little help from our frequency encoding science. You cannot buy cysteine in a pill. Nature's richest source of cysteine is raw whey protein powder. One World Whey is the only frequency encoded, energetically enhanced raw whey derived from Amish raised grass fed cows. Try it and you just might like how much better you may feel. Please call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
With us here on America Tonight, Dr. Mark Swedan. He is the Vice Chair for Neurological Surgery and Director of Pediatric Neurological Surgery at the Weill Cornell Medicine Brain and Spine Center. Dr. Swedan, thanks so much for coming on with us, because what we're talking about sadly has affected two of my friend's children. We're talking about pediatric brain tumors, and you know, one of the things, and you would know the acronym better, but DIPG. First of all, for people listening, tell us about DIPG and the severity of that and what happens to these kids. It's like a serial killer.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Kate, to begin with. And I'm sorry to hear that friends of yours have been afflicted by this. DIPG, diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, is one subset of tumors in children that affect the brain, and more precisely what's called the brain stem. The brain stem is the, if you will, the relay center between the brain proper and everything that happens below the neck. It's a very vital area, very tight, compact area, where these tumors that with consistency kill these children with a median survival of just shy of a year.
Wow. And so you just recently presented the results of your phase one clinical trial for the use of a better medication delivery system in these children with what we just talked about, DIPG. So tell us about that.
Now, the clinical trial really is a result of a very ambitious effort to improve the outcome for these children. And for decades, and for as long as I've ever known about DIPG or interested in pediatric brain tumors, that the survival curves and expectations were never improved in that 30, 40-year interval. So we embarked on a very adventurous way to be more effective in getting chemotherapeutic agents into the area of interest, namely the brainstem. And it's very well known that when you administer chemotherapy by an oral or intravenous route, that a very, very small fraction of that drug gets into the brain and hence the brain tumor. So the normal routes of administration are extremely ineffectual and inefficient for getting drug concentrations where we want them in the brain of these children. So this design is based on a simplistic idea, and that is directly administer the chemotherapy into the tumor, right? Sounds very logical and simplistic. And why shouldn't we be doing it? Why shouldn't we be doing it? It's because it is a surgical intervention. And you're also embarking on one of the most vital functions or structures of the brain, namely the brain stem. So it's illogical to think that you can place a catheter in the brain stem and infuse volumes of fluid that would be containing the chemotherapeutic agent. So that's what we set out to do. That was the first 15-plus years of my career. And as you mentioned, we reported on our phase one, or what you'd call toxicity-seeking, you know, clinical trial at the American Society of Clinical Oncology this past spring. And delightfully, we saw that we could do this in children safely with a very, very good efficiency, that we could get thousand-fold higher concentrations of drug in the area of interest safely without affecting anything in the rest of the body. So the foundation was validated without question.
Wow, that's incredible, because, and to really drive this home, as you said, so much of your life has been spent doing this, and we talk about the brainstem, and again, to put it in perspective for people listening, it's just very difficult to get to that area, isn't it, without doing any other kind of damage.
Yeah, there are tumors and lesions within the brainstem that neurosurgeons consistently will go after and remove very effectively. Benign tumors, well-circumscribed lesions, but those differ in that they are focal. Those differ in that they reach the surface of the brainstem. It affords us a route in, and there's a very clean line of demarcation that we can carefully identify at the time of surgery. These tumors, DIPG, and other infiltrative gliomas, have that word assigned to them, infiltrative, meaning that they entwine themselves within the normal cellular structure of all the pathways and complex nuclei in the brainstem that make it an impossibility to remove these. And even if one can go in and take out the majority of these tumors, we know that the invasive front has escaped surgical treatment and will recur in those margins. So a much different growth pattern than other lesions that we will willfully go after in the brainstem.
We're speaking with Dr. Mark Sway Dan from Cornell Weill. And so in talking about this, I mean, this has got to be amazing, the amount that you're able to measure here, the amount of kind of like a treasure trove of information that you're finding out. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, what it's done is opened up a huge door of potential. And, you know, whether we have everything right with the phase one study is left unsaid until we start looking more diligently at optimal dose and then challenging ourselves to see if we can do better than historical controls. But at this point in time, the exciting component of this is now we've shown we can do this. So this opens up a huge potential with regard to agents that have been left by the wayside because they cause systemic toxicity. Agents that are very promising in the laboratory, but we know they don't cross what's called the blood-brain barrier. So now there's great potential for introducing either old agents or innovative agents. Now there's the potential of integrating agents that were prohibitive from the standpoint of systemic toxicity. So there's a whole wide spectrum of agents that can now be either re-explored or introduced into a tumor that has escaped any element of therapeutic benefit from therapy. So that alone is a huge jump forward in this. And then the other really has to do with the quieting of any cynicism that would be applied to this because it's dangerous. Right, so it, yeah. It's logical to think that you're going to put a catheter in the brainstem and infuse all this fluid and you're going to hurt children, and that doesn't make sense for a child that only has 5, 6, 7 months left of life. Why would you do this? But now that we can do this, and we've done this very safely to the point that we're sending these kids home the following day, and it's been remarkable from the standpoint of the safety element and the drug delivery element. So great capacity here now to interface with industry, with pharmaceutical companies, with investigators across the globe to try and now optimize this.
Yeah, and optimizing it, one of the things would be, I would assume, right, testing different drugs and combinations?
Yeah, without question. I wish I had 10 lifetimes and 10 more people in my laboratory doing this. You know, every one of it, and it's challenging, right? I mean, to have a clinical trial like this, which took us 4 years to complete, and I will say, you know, 15 plus years to lay the groundwork for, with a price tag of foundation money, and we've had very generous individuals and foundations rise to the occasion, you know, just shy of $2 million to drive this trial. Now, think about the multitude of agents that are out there that we'd love to experiment with. And you can do a lot of work in a laboratory to screen, but every time you embark on bringing this into a clinical front, you're dealing with that degree of effort. So it becomes very problematic. At the same time, one needs to be extremely disciplined in their selection of how to design a trial to make sure you're going to get the most information out of that clinical trial and that investment of time and effort and money.
Yeah, what does that mean for your team when you're talking about the other people involved in this? You all had to be thrilled when you knew that you had some success with this, right?
Yeah, I mean, no more than me, but without question. I can't enough praise assigned to the individuals who have helped with this, and that's industry, institution, and it extends well beyond what I've been doing, and it's really been remarkable. But I will tell you that the shared enthusiasm and the drive comes from the inherent belief that we can do better, that we can cure other cancers in kids of the same age, but because the cancer affects a different organ, we shouldn't be satisfied with that. We should believe in that if we can cure one cancer, there's no reason we can't cure another cancer. But yes, it might involve a different strategy, and it might involve a much different technology. But the drive to do that is because of the belief that, one, we can do it and have done it, and two is to watch the grief and the suffering of these parents is an amazingly powerful motivation to do better. And for anyone who associates, and you mentioned you have friends with children who have been afflicted, if you listen and watch and understand what they go through, there's no greater motivation to do a better job and to improve the outcome for these kids.
Congratulations, Doctor, on the work that you're doing there, and to hear your passion is just absolutely phenomenal, wonderful. As you said, 15 years of work, the 4 years to complete, I can only imagine what a giant, giant effort. Dr. Mark Swedan from Cornell Weill, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, but we're not finished. Until we consistently cure these children, then you can congratulate me, and I'll certainly accept that congratulations. I appreciate the time this morning.
I love it, Doc. Thank you so much.
Thank you as well.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.